This episode of Masters of the Cinematic Universe is brought to you by Mo DeWitt and DeWitt Law Firm. Maybe you get in an accident chasing down a homicidal liquid metal machine from the future, or a time-traveling car sends you skidding into a truck full of manure. Perhaps a homicidal child cracks your skull open with a paint can this holiday season. Mo understands that every case is unique. If you're injured on the go, just call Mo.
And we're back with part two of A History of Violence. We left off with the Stahl family trying to calm down after thinking the bad guys were coming to the house. Little Sarah, she's kind of unaffected by this, and she reminds Edie that she promised to take the two of them, go to the mall to buy shoes. So we got another clip coming up in a second. And this is the two of them, Edie and Sarah, at the mall.
In an old Ford Taurus station wagon.
That's right.
What I just found. It's my last pair in this style, and it's exactly your size. Just try these on. They should fit like a dream.
How do they feel?
Good. Yeah, I think I like them.
I have a pair of these myself. They look great, and they really last.
Really? Okay, I'll take them. And I need a new pair for her as well. Sarah?
Ma'am, the shoes.
I have to find my daughter.
I can't let you leave the store with the shoes.
Okay. Sarah! 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 Sarah. Don't ever do that again, okay?
I'm sorry, Mommy. But look, they are the new Vespa dolls.
Nothing to worry about, Mrs. Stahl. I've been watching over her.
You stay the fuck away from my family, you son of a bitch.
There's no need for that kind of language, Mrs. Stahl.
Listen to me. I don't know what you want, and I don't really care.
You should care about what I want, Mrs. Stahl, because I want something from your husband that might affect you, might change your life.
My husband does not know you. He wouldn't know you, somebody like you.
Oh, he knows Carl Fogarty, all right. He knows me intimately. See, this isn't a completely dead eye. It still works a bit. Problem is, the only thing I can see with it is Joey Cusack. And it can see right through him. Right through your husband, Edie. See what's inside him, what makes him tick. He's still the same guy. He's still crazy fucking Joey. And you know it, don't you?
I know that my husband is Tom Stahl. That's what I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask Tom about his older brother, Richie?
He does.
Ask Tom about how he tried to rip my eye out with barbed wire. And ask him, Edie, how come he's so good at killing people?
If I see you within 500 feet of me or my children or my husband, I'll have you arrested. Can I possibly make myself any clearer than that?
No, Mrs. Stahl, you can't. I thank you for your time. You have an enchanting daughter. And Mrs. Stahl, don't forget your shoes.
I like in that line, he went from Ed Harris to Ed O'Neill.
Yeah. Yep. Again, menacingly polite. That's what he is in this movie, and it's great.
I still can't get over the beginning of this movie when that bully called that other kid a Fogarty.
Yep, that's what he was saying. That's exactly it.
Yep.
So messed up.
So, yeah, so that was, again, menacingly polite. You can see some doubt in Edie's eyes now. Not doubt, but questions. Because he seems to really, really know Tom. Really know Joey. Crazy Joey. I love it. Oh, God, took his eye with barbed wire. Oh,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
You know? I love it. So we are now at school. We're at the high school. They're in the hallway, and Bobby comes to confront Jack again. He wants to get this over with now. Jack is sort of pretty calm about it. He's kind of nervous until Bobby calls his friend a skank, and Jack's just not having it. He snaps with everything that's gone on with his dad. He snaps and he beats the living shit.
Oh yeah.
At Bobby and the Toadie, man, they get theirs and then some. And
which makes me wonder, like, how does he know how to fight? Like, I understand, like, his dad had a double life before, but like,
yeah, but
this comes out of nowhere.
That's just like adrenaline fueled craziness. That's all that was. He kicked the guy in the balls. Who doesn't know how to do that?
Well, yeah, yeah, but like, he turns into like a fucking superhero all of a sudden and start fucking beating people's asses and stuff.
He grabbed him, he threw him around, and then, you know, I know, you're right. He looked like he could throw a punch, which, you know, most people don't know how to do, including me. so, you know.
They have to try to illustrate the shock of the bully. You know, once the kid you've been picking on that you know is not going to hit you hits you, you're just, something in your brain shuts down. You're like, oh, shit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
He's like, did you call me chicken?
Yeah. But Jack fucked him up. He fucked him up bad. So now we're back at home. Tom lays into Jack, admonishing him for the fight. It comes to a head with Tom explaining to Jack that in this family, we don't solve all problems with violence. And Jack's comeback is the fucking best. No, in this family, we shoot them.
Which,
like, holy fuck.
No, he says, we don't solve our problems by hitting people.
By hitting people.
He goes, right. No, that's we shoot them. And then he immediately solves the problem by hitting him.
By hitting him.
Well, Joey came out. Joey came out, man. That was not.
I just like the irony of him saying, we don't hit people, then just immediately hits him.
Exactly. That, because that's not Tom, that's Joey. And yeah. Joey slaps Jack across the face. They're both shocked by that. And Jack runs out of the house. Where am I? There I am. Sorry, lost myself for a second.
You're talking about Jack.
Yes. So, Edie, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at my notes, right? And I don't know how many times so far I've typed Edie as the word edit. Just out of habit.
Maybe you're Edie reminding yourself to edit it later and fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't. Guess what? I didn't. That's, you know, because Word didn't even tell me it was spelled wrong. And it's a word. Edie arrives home to update Tom about what happened at the mall. We find out that on the way home, she stopped at the courthouse to file a restraining order against Fogarty. And again, as they both said, you know, a lot of good that'll do, but at least she did it. She's more concerned than ever because of how sure Fogarty is that Tom is Joey Cusack. As they talk, there's another clip coming, Joe.
Yep.
As they talk, Fogarty's car pulls up in the driveway, and we're going to get a big confrontation.
Look at that 300. That's the old school, though.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the hood, Bentley.
Get off our property.
We'll go, Joey. We just want you to come with us. Come back to Philly. See some people.
I told you, I have never been to Philadelphia.
You almost believe your own crap, don't you? You know, you're trying so hard to beat this other guy, it's painful to watch. Charlie.
Hey. Look what we found.
Come on. Yeah?
Come on! Jack!
No! Edie!
Jack!
No! No!
Go, you son of a bitch!
Come here.
Pete.
Don't make us hurt the kid, Joey. We just want you to come for a little trip with us down memory lane. Put the pop gun down. Come over and talk to us.
Breathe. I won't get him. I'll get him. Please. Go up to Sarah.
Go up to it. Do it. Put the gun down. Put it down, Joey. Come closer. A little further.
Back to the house, Jack.
You see how cozy it can be when you decide to play nice? Now, come on, Joey, get in the car. You won't need your toothbrush. We'll take care of everything.
It'd be better if you just leave now.
Joey. Come on, Joey, let's go. Anything to save you before I blow your brains out, you miserable prick.
I should have killed you, McInfelly.
Yeah, Joey. You should have.
So we meet Joey up close and personal now. There's no more Tom. That's definitely Joey.
Yeah.
And he handles business. He is fucking crazy Joey. The problem is now his family knows too. So we're going to get to that in a second. But it was another brutal scene, man. David Cronenberg keeps saying it, but man knows how to lay out violence in a pretty graphic way.
Yeah. And I mean, up until this point, like, he could have been telling the truth, kind
of. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So that was a cool turning point where it was like, oh, shit, this guy's definitely.
I just like any last words. Yeah, I should have killed you back in Philly.
Yeah.
There you go. So now the secret's out. So we're back in the hospital again now. Tom's in his room, and Edie, she storms in to confront him, asking him flat out to admit that he's Joey. Because based on what she saw at home, there's no doubt. She knows too. He finally admits it, but it's really weird. He talks about Joey in the third person, like he's someone that Tom got rid of before meeting Edie.
Gambit, don't know Joey anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And Carl mentioned it back at the confrontation. And, you know, it's almost like you believe your bullshit. And, you know, he's Tom has gone full Trump. Like, he believes the bullshit that he lays out. He's lying. He believes every word he's fucking saying. So yeah, he talks about, I thought I killed Joey back in the desert all those years ago, you know? So he does treat him like someone else. He really wanted to get away from that life and have a normal life. Edie gets, she's so overwhelmed by this. She has to run in the bathroom and throw up because she's so distraught by everything that she's finding out. You know, she's now realized though that her entire life is a lie with him. And it's totally freaked her out. She storms out of the hospital room. The next night, Tom is forced to take a taxi home from the hospital because she's not there to pick him up. Outside the house, Jack confronts his father about his double life. You know, even he says, "If I tell Sam, are you going to have me whacked?" Like he's being such a teenage kid, like.
Yeah.
You know, and I know teenagers can be awful, right? I mean, we know that. We were teenagers, we were awful, and teenagers are awful, but the teenagers
like, I'll whack you.
Yeah, right? But teenagers in movies and TV are, because they're just the stereotype of what everybody thinks a teenager is going to act like. It sort of gets to me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not all that bad. Most of them aren't, you know, just that. But yeah, Jack was a dick. He was a dick to his dad. Tom heads inside. The next day, Tom is outside working on the pickup truck that hasn't been running, and Sheriff Sam arrives, and we got another clip we're gonna run.
Yeah, we do.
Tom? Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Good to see you up and around.
Yeah.
You had her running yet?
Yeah, for a second there. She's coming back to life.
Shit. Tom. I got a problem.
Wanna come inside for a minute?
I've been running through it all for the last couple of days. It just doesn't fit.
What doesn't fit?
None of it. That Edie coming home?
Yeah.
Well, we don't have to do this now.
Might as well.
Sam?
Edie? How you doing?
I'm okay.
Want some coffee?
No, I'm good. So what brings you out here?
Tom and I were just talking about that.
I'd like to hear it.
Well, it's just that none of this makes any sense. These are serious, secretive men. I mean, they wouldn't have come out here. They wouldn't have gone through all this, exposed themselves like this, unless they were dead certain they had the right man.
So what are you saying, Sam?
I'm saying I think I need to hear the truth.
Truth?
The truth. Sam, you've got too much time on your hands.
I'm sorry.
Tom is who he says he is. That's all that really matters. Sam, hasn't this family suffered enough?
Well, God damn. Edie. It's okay. I guess I'd be going. You folks give me a ring if you need anything. Anything at all. Understand?
Thanks. Edie. Edie!
Get off of me!
Ooh.
Yeah, because that's foreplay, all right. That's not a total rape scene about to happen.
It's absolutely not.
It is 100% rape.
It's Joe, you're so wrong.
When somebody walks away from you, says, get away from you, slaps you in the face, and you grab them by the throat and hold them on the wall.
And then who kissed who first? She kissed him first.
After he when basically he let go,
when he let
her
go
up
of
the
her
stairs.
Neck, when he let go of her neck, she kissed him first. That was consensual. It was violent. It was angry, but they still love each other. It was awful. It was absolutely horrible. It was so horrible that Cronenberg was, he started talking to stunt people because he was worried that they were going to hurt each other on the stairs. And they actually did. Maria Bello got bruised to shit on her back from that. I mean, because they were both going at it full tilt. I mean, that was.
Yeah.
So in any case, what we're talking about is they have sex right there on the stairs, but it is violent, nasty, horrible sex. And
what you will about the intent or like the, you know, the rape elements or the consent. My beef with this scene was that Viggo Mortensen has a tail.
Okay. Fair point.
I, you know, and not to body shame anybody, like, you know, you are who you are, but that's a brass set of balls to say I'm gonna do this nude scene in this movie knowing full well that I have a prehensile tail above my ass crack.
Well, Hollywood's full of lizard people, aren't they?
I guess so. This was a full-on George Costanza tale. Like, this was...
Yes.
It's shrinkage, Jerry!
It was fucking wild, dude. I had to rewind the scene. I was like, am I delirious from the sun? Or does this man have a fucking tail? And he does.
Yeah, he's odd-shaped. He is, but... It's very difficult to watch because Joe, I think the violence of it can definitely hint towards there being some non-consensual shit going on.
Well, also the way it begins.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. It's just violent, but it makes sense is not the right way to phrase it because none of it makes sense. But the love that they have for each other runs way deeper than any of the shit that's going on, as we're going to end up seeing. But it's just, yeah, it's super difficult to watch. After they're finished, Edie goes upstairs to get away from Tom.
Exactly, because she just got raped.
All right.
It's terrible.
It's horrible.
You look, if I'm saying the sex scene's not okay, then it's not okay.
No, it's difficult to watch. It really
it's almost
is.
As bad as Biodome.
Oh no, nothing's as bad.
No, that's straight up. We know what that is. So that night, Tom is sleeping on the couch, understandably so. He gets a call from his brother Richie, who lets him know that it's in his best interest to come to Philly for a visit. Hey, Brohan. So that's our first listen, anyway, to William Hurt. He's going to show up in a minute. Tom packs up some stuff and gets in the pickup truck. And after a long overnight drive, he arrives in Philly and heads to an old haunt of his.
I really wish he would have went to Patty's Pub.
I know, right? he goes to a place called the Track and Turf. Was somewhere in Ontario.
You said 2006?
2006, yeah.
I think this is like 1 year before Sonny started.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, this was in... this was shot in Canada. The whole thing was shot in Canada.
I know, so. Just thinking about the Philadelphia.
Yeah, no, it would have been cool.
I think Philadelphia started in 2007.
Yeah. So he goes to an old haunt called the Track and Turf. It's funny because he orders a Jenny Cream, and Jenny Cream is Genesee Cream Ale, which is brewed in Rochester, New York. And that's where Viggo Mortensen's from. So that's why he ordered it, because like you'd never get that swill in Philly. Because I went to school up there, and we only drank that because it was the cheapest shit on the shelf, and that's all we could afford. But it's swill; it's just really bad. But it's very beloved in the Rochester, New York area, upstate. So by Buffalo, he meets one of Richie's guys, who they hang out for a second, but he brings him to Richie's house. We got another clip coming up. They arrive at the mansion. Richie's got a very beautiful mansion. This scene is long. It's over seven and a half minutes, because this is why William Hurt got nominated for the Oscar for this role. I mean, this is his entire time in the movie is this scene we're going to play. And it's just, he's so good. And this is a great scene. So roll it.
Didn't you bang Jill Levy there, right on the bar in front of everybody?
I never banged Jill Levy.
No, you should have. She was something.
I know, Archie.
Yeah, it's been a long, long time, Brohan. You want anything?
Nah.
So you like that farm life? Milking cows and shit?
I don't have a farm.
No? Boggarty thought you live on some kind of farm. Said he could smell pig. Now, that old fart would know what a pig smells like. I don't know, but that's what he said.
Do you like being married?
What?
Do you like being married? Does that work for you? I can't see it working for me. I never felt the urge, you know? Thought of great-looking women in the world. I never met one made me want to give up all the others. Sure, you can fuck around, but it's so much goddamn work, you know? Keeping it quiet. It's not worth the effort. Don't see the upside. You see the upside, Joey?
Yeah, Richie, I do. I do now.
I'm pretty pissed at you, Brian. You could have called. You could have dropped a postcard in the mail. We're brothers. What'd you think would happen?
I thought the business would come first.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. What am I gonna do? You bust up a made man's place. You kill some of his guys. You take his eye. Jesus, Joey, you took his eye. Barbed wire, wasn't it? That's disgusting. You always were the crazy one.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I heard. You're living the American dream. You really bought into it, didn't you? You've been this other guy almost as long as you've been yourself. Hey, when you dream, are you still Joey?
Joey's been dead a long time.
And yet here you sit, big as life. You know you cost me a lot of time and money. Before you pull that shit with Fogarty, I was a shoo-in to take over when the boss croaked. A shoo-in. It was made very clear to me, Joey, I had to clean up your mess. Or nothing was ever gonna happen for me. You got no idea how much shit I had to pull to get back in with those guys. You cost me. A hell of a lot, Joey. A hell of a lot.
Looks like you're doing all right over here.
Yeah, I am. I am. I'm still behind the eight ball. Because of you, there's a certain lack of respect, a certain lack of trust. Boys in Boston are just waiting for me to go down. You always were a problem for me, Joey. When Mom brought you home from the hospital, I tried to strangle you in your crib. I guess all kids try to do that. She caught me, whacked the daylights out of me.
I've heard that story.
Well, what do you think? Better late than never.
Richie, I'm here to make peace. Tell me what I gotta do to make things right.
You could do something, I guess. You could die, Joey.
Oh.
How do you fuck that up? How do you fuck that up? What are you gonna do? Give him mouth to mouth? Did you see my brother? Fucking leave this and let's just kill that little fuck!
How do you fuck that up?
How in the hell?
I absolutely love it. William Hurt, there's one little part in there where he sounds like Christopher Walken.
Then he comes back. He comes back sounding like Rip Taylor.
Yeah, you know. I just love it. I love his facial expressions, the feigning surprise when he's talking. I try to strangle you in your crib. I guess all kids try to do that.
Yeah.
What? She beat the daylights out of me. You know, it's such a great performance. I'm so glad that he got nominated for that.
Yeah, it's super strong, dude. I think again, my only issue with any of this stuff is like the lack of Philadelphia accents in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I don't think that was high on Cronenberg's list of
things
to check off. It's like Nick just sound like a gangster, kind of sound like Philly maybe, and you know, we'll call it a day. I get it. You didn't put too much of the budget into the dialer coaches, I guess.
You can get a Philly dialect coach for I want to say $25 a day.
Yeah. So Joey takes care of business. That was what I named that clip, and that's what he did. Joey's back in full form. And after that, they, you know, him, Richie and his henchmen go out to look for Joey. And Richie sees the door, the outside door open. So he goes outside and the door closes behind him and he hears Joey taking care of his henchmen. He opens the door and Joey shoots him right in the fucking head and he kills Richie. So he's wrapped everything up now and taking care of business. So at this point, Tom, he heads back to Millbrook. He arrives home and awkwardly joins the family for dinner. It's a weird scene. So,
because I mean, the last things they did together was murder some people. I'm assuming bury or burn the bodies because when the sheriff comes, the bodies aren't in the front yard.
Well, no, he knows. They cleaned it all up. I mean,
as a family, he slapped his son, got his son kidnapped, murdered a bunch of people, raped his wife, and then left.
Yes.
And then comes back to dinner. Though. like nothing happened.
He came home. So this last clip is about 3 minutes and there's not a single lick of dialogue in it, but it does sum everything up perfectly. So roll it.
Thank you.
This fucking egg.
And there we go.
There you have it.
Eric, you alluded to it earlier in the episode that Cronenberg definitely sets things up very literally. And that's what happens at the end. I mean, they don't make eye contact. Edie and Tom don't make eye contact until the very end of that scene. And he looks her in the eye and he knows immediately that she still loves him. And
That was my thought, but it's also done in such like a ambiguous way, and the way it's acted, I feel like it could go either direction because it ends there. Either he gets the confirmation in that look, like, oh, that's the look, I know she loves me, or it's not there. Like, it's not the same look.
See, I think they both kind of smile though.
They both kind of smile. If you look at their faces, there is a smile of acceptance on her face first, and when he sees that, he knows, and he smiles too.
I think the sign of acceptance was his son handing him the meatloaf.
That was definitely Jack's acceptance.
And now
I'm
looking at him, he looks like Eisenberg mixed with Glenn Howard and Dennis from Always Sunny. Like, if the two of them were mashed into one person, that's who he looks like.
Yes. Yep.
Which to me is more interesting than what was actually going on.
I think that they're going to be a family. They'll be fine.
Yeah. That seems, would make sense for sure.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going to happen when the rest of the people in Philadelphia find out this important person was killed and they know it was him.
There aren't anybody left. There's nobody left in the guys in Boston. They wanted Richie gone anyway. So they got everything taken care of without having to get their own hands dirty.
Maybe. I don't know.
They're happy. That's the way the mob works. The Irish mob, anyway.
Joe, do you know what a sub is called in Philadelphia?
Isn't it a grinder?
No.
Oh. A cheesesteak?
Well, no.
I don't know who.
It's a
Sammy?
A Sammy, no. So if you're in Philadelphia, you want to order a sub, you're going to order what's known as a hoagie.
Oh, a hoagie.
Yes. Yeah, not a hoagie, a hoagie. Okay. A hoagie. Yes. That's why they didn't do Philadelphia accents in that movie, because it's so fucking stupid.
It is. It's very weird.
That's why.
Yeah, a hoagie. I don't like a hoagie. And also, if you go to order a cheesesteak in Philadelphia, there's a specific way you have to do it, or else they'll spit directly in your face. You can't just say, I'd like a cheesesteak, please. Go fuck yourself. You have to order it in such a stupid, weird way. Like, all right, Joe, you're the guy at Pat's or Gino's or whatever, right? I'm walking up to the window. I say to you, because you don't say like, hey, how are you? How's your day? No. I say to you, I would like a cheesesteak. And then you slam the window shut or you throw something at me. You have to say, like, if you want it with the cheese whiz on it and, like, you want onions on it and everything, you want one whiz wit. And then that's how you order it.
Yeah, or I say, I don't want that shit on my fucking steak. Don't put fucking cheese whiz on my fucking cheesesteak.
Oh, it's all cheese out of a fucking can.
Yes. Like
you live underground in the 50s.
Exactly.
Isn't this a city of brotherly love?
No.
No.
It's absolutely not.
I mean, it is supposed to be, but no, it's not. It's the city of throwing batteries at Santa Claus. That's what it fucking is. Okay. That's what it is. So it's an awful, awful place. But it's a great place to go for history and for, like, to be a tourist. It's definitely a cool place to hang out for a day or two. So anyway, that's a history of violence. And Cronenberg and Viggo Mortensen get together again in Eastern Promises, which is probably a movie I'll do at some point, because that's Russian gangsters. And that's just as intense. It's just as visceral and raw and probably more violent. I don't remember, but I think so. But it's definitely even more violent than this movie.
So it's like the future of violence.
Yes, it is. It is visceral. It is fucking. There is a fight, a naked fight scene in that movie in a bathhouse. A naked tailed Viggo Mortensen fighting another naked man.
Not the tail again.
In this movie, dicks are swinging and just pure fucking visceral violence. So.
Now, if you could put that in the church with Freebird guitar solo playing. I'd be all about it.
Exactly. So Eastern Promises I'll get to someday. But so that's the movie.
Hell yeah, we did it.
Yeah.
Yep.
We did it, and we didn't even mention that weird scene of full frontal female nudity that was there for no reason at all.
That was totally gratuitous. Wait, completely fucking gratuitous.
Right after the sex scene, right after the tail. They cut to him sitting in the bedroom and she walks out of the shower with a robe open.
Oh, like, and I miss that.
Full frontal.
Full.
Go back, Joe. Full frontal.
All right.
Like, and she looks at him in disgust and turns around and walks away. Yeah, you're right. Oh, and one thing I had to say, I forgot to bring this up earlier. So as I'm watching the movie, I'm listening to the score. And I'm going, this is so fucking Silence of the Lambs. It's not funny. And I looked it up, and it's Howard Shore. So,
oh shit!
Of course it is. So, I mean, Howard Shore did Lord of the Rings, all Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit music. But he did Silence of the Lambs back in '91. He did this. He's done a lot with Cronenberg, and obviously a lot with Viggo Mortensen. Not for any reason other than luck, but. The music in this movie is very, very Silence of the Lambs, the score. So, and that's why it's Howard Shore.
So, it's a nice catch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what time it is?
I am a movie critic by trade, and until recently, I got paid to tell you people which movies merely stink and which ones you shouldn't screen near an open flame. Well, I'm putting the burden of lousy movies back on you. It's very simple. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies. If the movie used to be a TV show, just don't go. After Roman numeral 2, give it a rest. If it's a remake of a classic, rent the classic.
Tell them you want stories about people, not $100 million of stunts and explosives. People, it's up to you. If the movie stinks, just don't go.
If the movie stinks, just don't go.
You love me. You really love me.
It stinks. It stinks. It stinks.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
All right. Were we entertained? Let's find out. Eric, what do you got, bud?
This was a good-ass movie. like I said, I don't know why I never finished it. I know I had seen at least the first half of this a couple of times, but I really dug it, man. It was just like really well directed, really I didn't run into any issues. The acting was good across the board. I dug it. I dug it quite a bit. This is a above 4 movie for me. This is like a 4.2 movie for
me. Nice. Very yeah. nice. All right. Joseph, what do you got? Joey.
So I have an interesting dilemma with this movie. I thought the movie was very well done, and I thought it was extremely well acted. And I like the concept of it. It did off put me with a couple of the things in the movie itself, but also won me over with a couple of things. But I thought it was a good movie, but it's just, for me, it's boring. Like, it just bores me. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just this type of movie. But I think everything was good about it. Like, I don't have any issues with the movie. Like, I just, it's boring to me. Like, I don't know how to, how to like make that sound like less better. It was good. In my thing, like, I think it's a movie I could have watched or not watched and been okay either way. Like, it wasn't something that I'm not going to be like, oh man, you got to go watch this movie. It was so fucking phenomenal to people. But like, I won't also be like, eh, this movie sucked. Like, it just is there. It was good, but it just doesn't do it for me. So my score is going to reflect more of the fact that it's good, but I'm not going to go overboard because of the fact that it doesn't do it for me. I'll still give it like probably like a 3.8, which is still a pretty decent score.
No, that's a good score.
As a movie, it's a good movie. It just really did nothing for me.
Yeah. No, I get it. Because I mean, watchability is as important as a lot of other factors in a movie. And I get it. Like, I hadn't seen this movie in a long time. I
would have went lower if it wasn't for the fact that it was just fucking short and done with. Like, I was like, okay, well at least they respected me there. Am I not making me watch a 2 hours of this?
I was going to say that I would agree with you way more if it was longer.
Yeah.
It was like an hour and a half. It was the perfect length for this movie.
Also, yeah. I've seen this story like in like 50 different TV shows as like episode, like someone's in witness protection and they get spotted by somebody because they did something and got on the news. Like, this is like a tale as old as time. I've seen this before.
Well, it's funny because one of the little factoids I read about this movie was that it's obviously based very directly on the graphic novel that was printed first, but the graphic novel and this movie are very similar to an old 50s serial TV show that was sort of an anthology series, sort of like Twilight Zone, but not science fiction. I forget the name of it. And it was a very, very similar story. About a mobster who escaped his life and blah, blah, blah. And
either that or someone's in witness protection and they spot, like, this is a tale I've seen a million times. I'm like, yeah, I know what's going to happen already. Like,
and it's been done since. I mean, look at Odenkirk's Nobody.
Exactly.
It's the same thing, you know? So,
I mean, look at Dexter, the new season. Like, this is a fucking story that's been told a million times.
It's a well-used trope.
The reason they got a decent score for me though is because it was done very well.
Like, yeah, exactly.
It was done well. So, just for me, it's just boring.
Yeah. So for me, the reason I dig this movie, watching it now, was first, again, because of the length of it. It's very well paced because there's not just extemporaneous bullshit that's thrown in there for no reason.
I do respect that.
And the fact that for me, it holds up. I remembered how much I liked it when I saw it back in 2006, and I maybe saw it once or twice since then, but it holds up for me. So that's where it gets my respect too. It's like, I've done some movies that I liked from, you know, older than this one that I look back on, and when I rewatched it now, it was like, holy, what was I thinking? Not that it was bad, but you know, it's just, this doesn't hold up to me. This holds up. So you stole my score, Eric. So I'm going to just duplicate your score at a 4.2. That's where I got to go with this. Cause it is one of my favorite movies in general. It's not like it's top 10 or even top 20, but it's a movie I really enjoyed, and I enjoyed watching it for the show. So
nice.
4.2. So that's
high scores. Check it out. Yeah, watch good the movie. Scores.
Go good score from all of us. I agree. I agree. Good scores, right. Valid points. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Before we thank people, let's take a little look at what movie we'll be doing next week. Because
yeah, what are we doing next
week? We're doing trailers now. Oh, this will be a surprise to you then. Yeah. All right.
I'm hot! I'm big! No! No!
My name is Daniel Lugo, and I believe in fitness. All this began because it was time to push myself harder.
Oh, there you go, yes!
Otherwise, I was looking at another 40 years of wearing sweatpants to work.
Mr. Doble, are you currently using steroids?
I think they messed me up.
Don't worry, that's what we specialize in here. Penis magic.
I'm a self-made man. I made a lot of money.
Maybe yourself ought to spend some of it on a salad.
You know who invented salad? Poor people.
What's going on, D.L.?
Hey, was just get tired of being where you are, Adrian?
No. I kind of like it here. I mean, the weights are new to
me. I mean, in life, man. When's the last time you paid your rent when it was due?
I got a plan to change that.
Where'd you do your time, pal?
Up north.
How you fixed for a job now?
You just can't kidnap a guy and take his things. That's so illegal.
Well, sure we can.
Victor Kershaw is a criminal prick who deserves bad stuff to happen to him.
We go through with this, nobody gets hurt, right?
Oh, man, we snatch him.
There he is!
We grab him, signs a few signatures. We give him a protein shake. He doesn't even know what happened. I watch a lot of movies, Paul. I know what I'm doing.
The Sun Gym Gang has successfully acquired every asset you had.
What happens now?
Now I go to work.
That's it. It's good. It hurts. I know it does. That's it. Get it. You said no violence.
And I meant it when I said it. I swear to God.
I cannot kill.
Duly noted. Look, when this is over, we'll all go camping. All right?
Okay.
I'm fucking excited now just watching that. It got me pumped.
Yeah, I haven't seen it since I watched it, and I remember liking it when I watched it. It's like the anti-Michael Bay movie. You know, it's got his elements in it, but it's not as typical, just straight up crazy action, slow mo shit. You know,
I like
so
that.
I remember liking it when I watched it. I mean, thought it was a cool movie.
It's already got Miami, so it follows the rules. I forgot Ed Harris was in this. Like, that was a nice little fucking
surprise.
We got
two Ed Harris movies in a row.
Yeah.
That's very cool, you know?
The Rock.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, definitely.
I don't know why. I visibly remember one scene from that movie always in my mind, and that's when The Rock is getting rid of the fingerprints.
Yeah, yes. I do remember that.
It's the best.
Yep.
I'm excited for that. Also, Anthony Mackie in the Dan Marino jersey was kind of nice.
Yes, yep. Yeah, and I remember the whole theme about the steroids the whole time.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember that movie being just a fucking wild ride.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and just how dumb the three of them are.
Oh, like they're so fucking dumb.
So fucking stupid.
I kind of like that, though, if I'm being
real. No, definitely. Definitely. No, I'm looking forward to that. What movie are you doing next, Eric, after that?
I don't know.
You decided?
I haven't decided yet.
Oh, well, you need to know by next weekend because I got to play the trailer.
I'll know by next week.
I like this playing the trailer thing for now on because it gets a little excitement going on.
I'll narrow it down. We'll figure it out.
After you two go, I'm doing Kung Pao. So
that's
I'm
right.
Just,
I'm
Joe, we're
that.
Just going to, we're going to not care about getting turned off of the live stream because we're just going to play the whole movie. Like, that's all we're gonna
just do. So you know,
we're getting Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Literally, no one commented or watched tonight. We didn't get pulled down.
I know, exactly. Exactly.
I think it's funny that like we didn't get pulled down the time that nobody watched.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. So, anyway, Yeah, so cool. That's what we got.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right.
I love Miami.
Well, we got some people to thank. If you're injured on the go, just call Mo. If you have legal questions, just call Mo. If your ears get assaulted by a Philadelphia accent, just call Mo. If you get assaulted by a Philadelphian, just call Mo. Just call Mo.com. Check out the merch section for free stuff, cheap stuff. Keep an eye out for the mobile, or go to an Orlando Solar Bears game and see Mo drop the puck. Just call Mo.com.
What if you're in high school and you get beat up by a kid because you called him the F word for gay?
Well, no, I don't know. See, I don't know.
He deserved it, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, yeah, he definitely, Bobby deserved it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure if we could call Mo about that. Can we call Mo and have him laugh at the kid for getting beat up for being such an asshole?
For sure.
Anything
else? And we got some more people to thank. We've got our Patreon members. These fine folks give us money every month, and we really appreciate them. We appreciate them so much. We're going to read their names here for you, and we'd love it if you donated too. I mean, donated, just gave us money. That's basically what you're doing. But if you listen to the show and you can swing a buck a month, that would be great. These people do that. We'll start off with founding member Hannah Christ. Then we've got Mr. Peter Bianco from the Tone Jerks podcast and the Off the Rails podcast, Mr. Brian Gower. Our co-host on the Just Surprise Me podcast, as well as the Sharing Maps podcast, and our occasional co-host on this podcast, Mr. Will Ayew. From the Single Path podcast, the Texas State Boggle Chance podcast, and the Texas Size 10-4 podcast, Mr. Tommy DeGraw. From the great state of Tennessee, Mr. Michael McVeigh, my fellow Vegas enthusiast, Mr. Michael Van Zandt. And last, but definitely not least, Mr. U-G-Rection. Thank you, Mr. Rection.
Visit patreon.com/MOTCU to support the show, you cheapskate.
Yeah. Thank you guys for joining us on another cinematic trip down memory lane. That's a nice little tagline right there. I just came up with that too. That's unlike me. Normally I just come up with some random bullshit.
I dig it.
Yeah. Well, we will see you guys on the next one. And with that, there's only one thing left for us to do. In my attempt of a Philadelphia accent, lights.
I'm not going to try. Camera.
Hughie. Hi, friend. This is Eric Pabon, and I'm here to talk to you about art of Eric Pabon. That's what I do. You may be familiar with some of my work. I've drawn some weird shit for Tom and Dan, Semantics, just generally for people around town. Or you might be familiar with my work from this show, where my co-host Joe makes weird fucking commission requests all the time. You can make weird fucking commission requests. That's right. Hit me up. Visit artofericpabon.com or find me on social media at artofericpabon. And I would be happy to, for money, of course, draw anything your twisted heart desires. Again, that's artofericpabon.com.